If you have been, that God is good and that he's not left you, he has not forsaken you, and he is with you in the mighty name of Jesus. If you have your Bible this morning, would you turn to the book of Revelation? It's going to be a great Christmas service today. We're not even doing Matthew or Luke. We're doing Revelation chapter 5. One of my mentors, he preached through this many years ago, and so I want to preach through the word of God this morning. Revelation chapter 5. If you're there, shout go Saints, because clearly they won. And go Pelicans because they won as well. So we're in a better mood this morning. If you care at all about Louisiana sports, go Tulane, right? Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah. Couple of announcements before we get started. Welcome visitors in the name of Jesus. We pray that you will know Jesus. And by the end of this message, we pray that your name would be written on the Lamb's Book of Life. A couple of things. Passion, all 18 to 25-year-olds are going to Passion Conference in Dallas, Texas, January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. It is the best, most incredible conference. I want you to go talk to Pastor Lynn after. They have 8 tickets. They are selling. It's going to be an incredible time for the young people to renew your life and get right in 2026. So make sure you head out there if you're interested at all. Number 2 announcement is our church-wide Christmas party is this Wednesday. We want to invite you to come. We don't do an overall invite on media and all that. We just want it to sort of be in-house Christmas party. But you come and bring a white elephant gift, which means a gift that you did not pay for, but you found at your house, and you stuff that in a bag, and we trade it. It's a lot of fun. Best Dressed Christmas is getting some awards. We're going to have a finger food. So you bring the finger food, we eat the food. It's going to be yummy. So you got to bring it or else we don't have anything. It'll just be snacks and pastries and stuff. So you bring in your food. We eat that together. It starts at 6:30 this Wednesday. And then everybody say next Sunday. I pray for good weather. Hey, good weather. We are doing 2 services in the name of Jesus. And so we need you to come to probably the 9 o'clock service is what we're thinking. We have a 9 o'clock service and a 10:30 service. And we are inviting everybody. It is a Christmas spectacular drama. It's going to be 1 hour. So one's going to be from 9:30 to 10:30. And the next one will be, 9 to 10. And then 10:30 to 11:30. So we have 2 services. Child care, just nursery will be provided. The kids will be in church. We are doing videos. They are doing special music, special drama. There is a play the entire time. The teens are doing something. It's going to be fun. We want you to invite 3 people. That's good. I'm going to invite 100. You invite 3. And I'm not even joking. I'm not even joking. So we're going to do that next Sunday, our Christmas spectacular. At 9 o'clock is one service. And then the next one will be at 10:30. And then we'll be back to normal services. Can I get an amen? Amen. Look at Revelation chapter 5. From Santa's list to the Savior's book is the name of the sermon today. I want to speak on 2 Christmas songs. One that is not really. Anybody ever been on Santa's list? You know what I'm talking about? Did anybody in the room ever have a person in your life that would sort of call you out if you were naughty and not nice? Was this a thing just for my age and above or young people? Can you? Yes, yes. Have you ever been on Santa's naughty list? My mama, I had a mama from down the bayou, and I loved her, and she would always fuss me for something. I was always doing something wrong. Anybody ever do something wrong all the time? And so I remember that just sort of always, and I think she would probably start in April, of the year. Now, Terry, if you keep on acting that way, you're going to be on what? Santa's list. And it was like a naughty or nice list, and I really think that she probably kept a list of all the things that I would do in my life, and then rather than tell my mom, she would just tell Santa Claus. And so I was just always on my grandmother's naughty list, sort of lived that way for years and years. I thought I was the best grandchild, but clearly she didn't feel that way. And so I was just sort of there's a list that you see Santa right there with the list. And you ever heard the song? You know what I'm talking about, correct? Okay. So this goes like this. You better watch out. You better not. cry. It's okay. It's okay. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and he's checking it twice and he's going to find out who's naughty and nice. You know, do you know that that song was written in 1934? There is 100 years almost of us living by Santa's list. And we sort of, I mean, this has been in the works for 100 years that we tell our people. Have you ever told your kids this? Have you? Okay, just, okay, okay. So some people are, I do. you don't deserve it. You're on Santa. You know what I'm saying? I don't even believe. We have not even told our kids that there is a Santa, but you're on his list. And you have been naughty and you're on the list. I know there's no list, but Jesus, I know. And so we sort of have this idea since 1934 in America that there is a list that Santa Claus is coming to town, and you have probably been on the naughty list, every single one of you. I'm sorry. Some of y'all are looking at me like, not me. Yes, you. Yes, you. We have all been on the naughty list, a recording. All year long, you might have gotten that, and hopefully and prayerfully, because Christmas is supposed to be this special time of year, you still got your present. But maybe you didn't. I don't even know. But the question is this morning, is to be on a list, you have to be naughty or you have to be what? Nice. And a lot of us in the room, we sort of still live by this. Like, well, I was naughty this week, and now this week I'm going to try to be super nice. I'm going to go to my job, and last week I talked bad about the boss, but this week I'm going to try to be nice. And then you go to your family reunion. I don't know if yours are crazy, and I'm pushing now. And so you go to your family reunion, and you try to be nice, and sometimes you get on the naughty list, and sometimes you get on the nice list. And there's sort of like this idea that we filter our lives through a list. And I'm not saying you think it's always Santa's list, but it's always called the good outweighs the bad. Some kids in our program the other last week, they were talking about karma. They're like, that's what you get. That's karma. You ever heard of this? I don't know if you've heard about this. Where you're good things and you get good things back to you. And if you're bad, you get bad things back to you. Sort of like this list that we filter through. And yet the Word of God never has a list. You should say amen. There is no list, but there is a scroll, and then there's going to be a book, Revelation chapter 5. John the Revelator in Revelation chapter 5, he is stranded on the island of Patmos, and he's sort of, this is the end for him. He has written the book of John. He has become the best friend of Jesus. He has seen the death and the resurrection of Christ. He has been one of the 500 that visibly have seen the risen Lord. And he knows that Christ is coming back again. And yet at the end of his life, he finds himself stranded on an island. And it's probably a little bit beautiful. So I'm not like all that sad about it. You know, he might not have even been all that sad. And he has a revelation about the end times, about Jesus coming back to get his bride. We know Bethlehem. We know the shepherds, we know the wise men, we know the angels, but this morning we want to look at the king who is coming back again, not with a list, but with a scroll. In verse 5, chapter 5, it says, John says this, after he has these visions of the seven churches, it says, then I saw on the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, a scroll. Somebody say scroll. Now, you know this, I know this. We would not write in books. We would not write on paper. We would write on a scroll. In that particular time, and that scroll would be out of paper that was very thin. And so he sees a scroll written within and on the back. So it's incredible because most scrolls in that day would only be have written in the front. So we'd have had a scroll and there'd been a couple of words, maybe a couple of hundred words. But the words that John, the Revelator, get ready to say is a book of what is getting ready to happen in the end times. And so he sees a scroll written within and on the back, and it is sealed with seven seals. Somebody say seven. Now, seven is significant in culture, in Roman culture. It was full security and authenticity in the Roman culture. So to have seven seals mean that there was someone that signed that seal or signed that scroll with seven complete seals, knowing that the authenticity and the power that came behind the seal. But in our culture and in biblical culture, it also means completion. The number seven means redemption is drawing near. So John sees a scroll written and on the book, and it is sealed with seven seals. Keep on reading in verse 2. It says, and I saw a mighty angel. This is John. I saw a mighty angel. We have no idea who the angel is. So some believe it was Gabriel. It does not give us the name. It says, and I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? In verse 3, it says, and no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And so I, John, began to weep loudly. This sort of reminds us of Ezekiel, remember? Always weeping. Jeremiah was even known as the weeping prophet. So it's almost as if John takes on this prophetic voice and he begins to see that there is a scroll with seven seals and he desperately needs someone to open the scroll, but there's no one in heaven worthy. There's no one on earth worthy. There is no one even under the earth that is worthy. And so John begins to weep and say, surely there is somebody. Keep on reading. It says, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me that sits at the throne room of Jesus says, weep no more. Behold. Somebody say, behold. When you see the word behold, you just see what is coming after that. Behold what? Something's coming. And so they say to John, the elder says to John, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered. Somebody say conquered. So that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And we know that the lion of the tribe of Judah and that the root of David was only through one name, and his name was Jesus. In verse 6, it says, and between the throne and the four living creatures, and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing. So then we get a picture. John has a picture. He sees a lamb. I don't know how he sees the lamb, but he sees a lamb. And there's some biblical artists and some people that have sort of defined this. So he sees the throne room of God. He sees the elders. He sees the scroll. No one in heaven, above and below, and on earth is able to open. And then he sees the lamb. Somebody say lamb. In verse 6 it says, and between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain with seven horns. Seven horns symbolizes complete power. And then it says, I saw not only a lamb with seven horns, starts to get more a little mystical even, it says, and seven eyes. So the ancient symbol of power and authority. And then the seven eyes are tied to Zechariah chapter 3 and 4, where they represent God's all-seeing spirit. So he sees absolute power, and he sees absolutely the spirit of God that was on the lamb. Somebody say lamb. Keep on reading. It says this in verse 7. And it says, and as he, now this was not John, this was Jesus. And as he went to take the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, and when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp. And that's probably where we see so many, oftentimes we see angels with harp, but mostly this was probably like a guitar looking thing that they would have had before the throne room of God. And they were holding a harp, and everybody else was laid prostrate before the Lamb and before the throne room of God. And it says, and there were golden bowls of incense, almost like a sweet aroma, if you would. Like you never walk into a room and it smells so good. You know what I'm talking about? You just got that fresh Bath and Body candle that was 3 weeks on sale. And so you open that up and all, come on, somebody. And so you go in and that room smells amazing. So somehow John not only sees the scroll, he not only sees the lamb, he doesn't only see the seven horns and the seven eyes, he smells something. And y'all, it is the golden bowls. What is in the golden bowls? Incense. What is the incense? The prayers of the saints. I believe that wasn't just the saints that were sitting around the throne. I believe that's our prayers. When we pray, our prayer is as incense to the Lord. It's a sweet smelling aroma. It's why you show up at 9:15 on a Sunday morning when it's raining and it might get crazy cold outside, because the prayers of the saints are an incense that sits around the Lamb's Book of Life, that sits around the throne room of God. And I can't see that, but I see in the scripture that when I pray, not if I pray, but when I pray, that it is a sweet aroma to the throne room of God. And we see this imagery, and we are now smelling the goodness of the incense of the saints. And in verse 9 it says, and they sang a new song saying, worthy. I love new songs. Notice they didn't sing a repetitive song. They didn't sing a song that they written 500 years ago. The Bible says they sang a new song. It said, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. That's who you are. That's who God says we are. So it tells us who Jesus is. It tells us what he has done, that he was slain by his blood. We are ransomed. And then he says who is included, every tribe, every language, every people, and every nation. But then he says you, that's you in the room this morning, you are priests as unto our God. And it says, and they shall reign on the earth. That's what John the Revelator is having this vision. In verse 11, he says, then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads. Does it say that in the ESV? I have no idea what myriads was, so I looked it up. Countless, extremely great number. A countless, extremely great number of people around the throne. And thousands and thousands. So it's like John is like, it was so many, it was countless, it was extreme, it was a great number, and thousands on top of that, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature, John says this, and I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So there was no one to found open the scroll in heaven. There was no one to found open the scroll in earth. There was no one to found open the scroll under the earth. But then he says, everybody in heaven and on earth and under the earth, what are they saying? They say, I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and they worshiped. And this brings us to our song that we sing tomorrow, today. It's celebrating that Jesus is the only one who can open the scroll. He is the only one that can bring justice. In fact, in the next couple of chapters, we're going to see this played out in Revelation 6 until 19. We see end times. We see things made right. We see that Jesus will redeem creation. We see that Jesus will rule with love and authority. It's not just worship around the throne. It's relief. It is finally someone. They were looking for someone in heaven. No one. They were looking for someone on earth. No one. They were looking for someone under the earth and in the sea. No one except for the name and the person of Jesus. And they write this song called Is He Worthy? I think it's on the screen this morning. And we sang it as a call and a response, but it should be the way that we live our lives. Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. Like, this was the first week, right, that we talked through O Come, Emmanuel. Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that it all could be made new? We do. Even last night, there were several people and gunshots and communities that were just filled in Australia and Boston College. You just got to get on the news and you see a broken world and you want the light to get through. And that should be the prayer of the saints. God, we do. We want this brokenness to stop. Two, it says this is all creation groaning. We learned this last week, joy to the world. It is. Is a new creation coming? It is. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. Remember that when they were crossing the Dead Sea, I forget which sea, and they took stones. Why? And the 12 tribes had 12 stones and they put them, they reminded themselves of what God has done. It is good for us as believers to remind us that creation is groaning. It is good for us as believers to remind us that new creation is coming. This is not the end games for the saints of God. We win in the end because of the one who is worthy to open the scroll. Is the glory of the Lord going to be the light within our midst? It is. There is going to be a time where there will be no tear. There will be no suffering. There will be no injustice. There will be no racism. There will be no things that hurt the heart of our Lord and our King. Is it good to remind yourself? Yes. I tell my kids, this is not the end game. Life's not fair, Mom. Good. You live on this side of heaven. I'm going to remind you of that. Not everything works out on this side. But we are believing that in all these things, God is doing more than we ask or think because of the one that loves us. It is good to remind yourself of that. Then they have this Revelation 5 in the chorus of the song. I love this part. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? And we learned in Revelation 5, there is. And then this chorus goes, the Lion of Judah who conquered the grave. Sound familiar? Sort of like just straight out of the Revelations. It says, the Lion of Judah who conquered the grave, he was David's root and the lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? And we all would say, he is. In Revelation chapter 6 through 19, after they open the scroll, after the lamb with the seven eyes and the seven horns, there is going to be some things that happen in our world. I don't know the exact timing. The Bible says that no man knows the timing or the hours. If I would tell you, I would be a liar. But I do know as you read through the next couple of chapters, it begins with the seven seals. There are four horsemen. They're coming with war and famine and death. That's chapter 7. This is super encouraging. Martyrs crying out for justice. We see that in our world. In Nigeria, we see this in our world. In China right now, we see this even in our communities. There's a martyrs that are taking the cause of Christ and dying for their faith. There are cosmic signs shaking the earth. Unprecedented floods, unprecedented famines. We are donors to the Cebu Shelter of Hope. And this past week, I jumped on a live. They have seen an unbelievable, like hurricanes and tsunamis and things that are taking over just that little island in the middle of the Philippines. They have cosmic signs and purposes that happen in Revelation 7. Then there's the trumpets. There's going to be environmental destruction, demonic torment. We see that where people are so tormented and we see mental health at crisis levels. We're going to see a massive loss of life, yet humanity will refuse to repent. And then John even says he sees these two witnesses whose ministry and resurrection declare God's power before the seventh trumpet happens. And then their seventh trumpet happens and there's silence in heaven. Can you imagine? We're singing, worthy is the Lord, and all these seals are broken and all these trumpets are happening and these horsemen. And then there's just like 30 minutes of silence in the heavenly places. And John gets more more vision, and Satan gets cast down, hallelujah. And then there's two beasts that are coming, a deceptive world system, a call to remain faithful. Then there's the bowl judgment on top of every judgment that I just talked about, pouring out God's wrath in rapid succession and preparing the world for final confrontation. Babylon, the symbol of corrupt world power, collapses completely, and heaven finally celebrates in chapter 19, and finally heaven erupts in praise as Jesus returns on a white horse, and he defeats the beast and the false prophet and brings it into evil's reign once and for all. And the end of the chorus of the song that we sang this morning says this, because you're like, wow, so I went from Santa's list to the scroll, got a little complicated, even got a little bit scary. Does the Father truly love us? He does. Does the Spirit move among us? Can you say that? He does. And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? He does. And I love this. Does God intend to dwell again with us? He does. Can you turn to the end of your Bible, Revelation chapter 21, 22 to 26. Revelation 21, 22 through 26. So we're tempted to think that we're on Santa's naughty or nice list. We know that there is a scroll that only Jesus is worthy to open. We know that there is a judgment coming. But in Revelation 21, I love the end of the book. This is not cheating. In school, if you read the end of the passage, it's cheating. But here we're just learning about the things of God. In Revelation 21 and verse 22, it says, "And I is John, and I saw no temple in the city," no church. No place. You know what I'm talking about? Like, we see this in Exodus. We see this in Leviticus. We see this, a new temple, even in Jesus' time. It says, "And I saw no temple in this city, for the temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb." Somebody say Lamb. In verse 23, it says, "And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb." Somebody say Lamb. "By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory to it, and the gates will never be shut." That's who Jesus is. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father." He says, "I am the gate. I am the light." All the I ams that John declares. In verse 25, it says, "And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into the glory and the honor of the nations, and nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable." Uh-oh, I've done detestable things. Oh my goodness, I've done unclean things. He says, "But only those who are written in" what? "The Lamb's Book of Life." There is no Santa's Claus list in heaven. No naughty, no nice. There is a scroll, and ultimately, there is a book. Somebody say book. And you get on the book not by earning it, not by being good enough, not by that you're nice outweighs your naughty, not by doing more good than bad, not by a religious checklist. It happens the moment that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. It happens the moment that you trust his death and resurrection to save you. It happens as soon as you turn to him as Lord and Savior. It happens immediately when you receive the grace that he freely offers. I remember being a young kid, and though my mama had written my name on Santa's naughty list, there was someone who was coming that was better than my grandmother, and I loved her to death, but there was someone called my father, and he bought me a gift, not because I deserved it, but because I was his child. And we would sit at the Christmas tree, and I had a good daddy, y'all, and I would open up a gift, and one time it was a guitar, and one time it was a car. I nearly flipped out. And I opened up, that wasn't even a gift you opened, not because my name was not on the naughty list. It was. My name was on his list as child of my father. How do you get into heaven? that your name would be written in the Lamb's book of life, not because you deserve it, not because karma says so. In Revelation 13:8, it says, the book belongs to the Lamb who was slain. It's God's book. It's not my book. John 3:16 says, whoever believes in him will have what? Eternal life. Romans 10 and verse 9, if you confess your sins and Jesus as Lord and raise him from the dead, you will be what? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it is a gift of grace, not something we can earn, because then I would be on a list. But I want my name to be written in the Lamb's book of life. Luke 10 and verse 20 says, Jesus says, your name is written in heaven because you belong to him. Jesus offers life. Can you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? Everybody in this room, my question for you is simple. Maybe we could just play a little music. My question is simple. Are you confident this morning that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life? Not because you have so many naughty things and so many nice things. And some of us in the room are like, oh, I just did so many things. I have so much garbage and so many things. You're looking at the list at the end of Revelation that says, and none of these people can come in, that anything unclean, you're like, I'm unclean. We all are. I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy. Not anybody in heaven and on earth or under the earth or in the sea. The only one is worthy is Jesus. Not only to open the scroll and start the coming of our King, but he is also the only one worthy to write your name in the Lamb's book of life. And I remember being a young person in ninth grade, and like in the world's eyes, I wasn't bad. They would probably even say that I was good. But the Bible says if I have sin, it says all of my righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing good in me. And I remember being in a room so empty and so full of just angst and anxiety and fears. And I remember them offering this message, that Jesus is King and that he is the one worthy. And all of that you can lay on him. John understood that. Remember at the beginning of John 5, he's weeping because there's like no one's worthy. How are we going to do this? No one's getting in. No, there's no one good enough. But at the end of John 5, it says, Revelations 5, it says he's worthy. He's the one. He's the one that paid the price, and all you have to do is accept the free gift of grace this morning and say yes. And if you've been struggling with this idea of salvation, this idea of giving your life to him, there's nothing you can do but say yes. There's nothing you can do but believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And what a time that will be, all of us together with unmeasurable amounts of people from every nation, tribe, and language and tongue around the throne room of God. And you get in because of Jesus and his grace. This morning, if you would like to say, you know what, Lord, I don't deserve that. I'm a sinner. I know that. But I would like to give my life to him. I want to be saved, forgiven. I want to be his kid. You want to accept the gift this morning. I'm saying it every way I know how to. Would you just lift your hand? If that's you this morning. You can't be worthy. You can't be good enough. I'm saying that over and over again. But it's just the truth of God's word. And so this morning, would you just say yes to him? With your hand lifted this morning, can we pray out loud? I believe there's a power when we pray and confess our sins out loud. So with your hand lifted, would you say this? Say, dear Jesus, my hand is lifted this morning. And I confess that I am a sinner. God, I am not worthy. You are. And this morning I pray that you would forgive me of my sins. God, that you would take away those things that I have done wrong. And this morning, I trust that Jesus is the Lamb of God. I trust that he paid the price for my life. I trust that he is the one that is able to open the scroll. And I trust that he is the one to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. This morning, I accept your free grace, your free gift of salvation in my life. I'm your kid, and you are my king and my father. This morning, if you prayed that, be confident. Don't walk back and forth. Whenever God writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible says the angels of heaven are throwing a party. I can't see that now, but I will one day. Because one sinner came to know the Lord Jesus. Walk in that. Walk in confidence. Walk in the calling of God over your life, the purpose of God over your life. Walk full of the Holy Spirit. I walk in confidence because I know who my earthly father is, but I walk in greater confidence because I know who my heavenly father is. You walk out the doors this morning and you don't wishy-washy and say, oh, I wonder if and that. No, the grace of God is good for you. It is good for me. The goodness of God is good for you. It's good for me. You walk in confidence, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, and you go and do the assignment and the things that God has for you. Change generations. Continue walking in the goodness and the mercy of God, and he will follow you all the days of your life. God, I thank you this morning. God, I thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not because of us, but because you are the one worthy. God, this morning with the angels and with the elders, we declare, God, you are worthy of all things. And God, this morning, God, we say with our mouths, God, thank you, Lord. God, thank you that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God, we don't have to be fearful. The Bible says, death, where is your sting? There is no victory in the grave because we know who our King is. And God, so we stand up with courage. We stand up in the might of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, God, we walk out of the doors believing, God, that we serve a mighty God who is able to do all things above and all that we can ask or think. God, knowing that you will fill us in the fullness of God this morning. God, we walk with confidence because you are our King and you are our Father. Thank you this morning that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God, we anxiously wait your return. God, I pray for next week's service. God, that there will be many that come through these doors to hear the good news that we spoke of this morning. That we will have an unction, Lord, in our spirit to invite someone that needs to have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God, help us to live with an eternal mindset. God, this isn't just about me and mine and ours, Lord. It is about kingdom purposes. God, so we walk out the door with vision and purpose. God, we give you this day. We give you this week. God, we thank you for the blessings of God over our lives and over our families. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everyone said, amen.